everyone, my name is Julia Cardoso and you're listening to Anxious Ramblings. Here we're going to speak about all those crazy thoughts in your head that you're afraid to say out loud. So this episode is going to focus on caregivers, those who have loved ones with mental illness, who are parents of them, family members, friends, spouses, boyfriend, girlfriends. If you care for someone who has a mental illness, this is going to be a great episode for you to listen to and for you to really gain some knowledge and what you can do to help your loved one. Caregivers are a really important part of someone's support system. It's important to have really positive, supportive people in your life that's going to really guide you through this recovery. And one thing that I want you guys to know is that caregivers are not going to really understand what it's like to live with a mental illness if they do not suffer from one themselves. But the least that we can ask for them is to try to understand, you know, get educated on your own, read some articles, just do your own research. And it's also important to be honest with your loved one. If you have a caregiver that really triggers your mental illness, let them know about that action. Let them know what they can do to stop that and to make it easier for you. And also, you can help them get educated about mental health. Tell them about your mental illness. Tell them where they can go to research. And, you know, just start a dialogue between you and your caregiver about this mental illness so that it's not something that creates a boundary or a border between you two, because it's something that's going to be there and it's really important for you guys to establish this healthy relationship. So before I continue, let's hear about what others had to say about the caregivers and their support system.
A good support system consists of people who understand your limitations, who are patient with you when you are hitting a wall, to say the least, who encourage you to be your best and just to take the steps that you can take that day, whether those are big steps or small steps. And above all else, they just support you and give you love regardless, and they don't stigmatize you or feel like you're insane for not being able to do something that would seem simple.
Husband doesn't, and he doesn't really understand it, but he loves me and he supports me, and it's something he works to try to understand.
It's just very good to actually have people that you know in person that kind of understand and go through that themselves. And it's quite useful because when you're with people that don't really understand the condition, they kind of it's difficult for them to understand the little quirks and stuff that the disorder can give you. Whereas when you're actually with people that do understand it, they're more forgiving and they're more easy, you know.
I really had to figure out who were people that I could reach out to and get the compassion that I needed. And this is a really hard one because I feel like a lot of us have parents who aren't able to meet certain needs. And it's really hard to come to accept that sometimes our parents can't give us the kind of love that we need in the moment when we're struggling.
For the next part of this podcast, I'm going to talk about ways that caregivers can learn how to obtain essential information. And for this part of the podcast, I'd like to use a book that I read, and it's titled Mental Health in a Failed American System, What Every Parent, Family, and Caregiver Should Know, and it's by Tamara Hill. So I recently connected with Tamara Hill on Twitter, and I got to be interviewed by her for an article that's published in sexcentral.com, and it was for Mental Health Awareness Week. And I felt really honored and really grateful that I was able to work with her and read her book. And I recommend this book to those who are caregivers, family members, parents, to those with mental illness, and just anyone who really wants to learn more about mental illness and the pros and cons of this American mental health system. And I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about Tamara Hill, the author of this book. She's a therapist specializing in child and adolescent mental health. She works with youth suffering from behavioral and mood disorders. And a lot of her work is really focused on the caregivers, the parents, and the family members within the mental health system. And all of her passion and dedication in this field has allowed her to become a guest on many radio shows. She's been guest nationally, internationally, and she was able to contribute to many articles, blogs, and media outlets that's really focused on this subject of caregivers, parents, and family members with those who have mental illnesses. So I would definitely recommend this book. It's available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, and anywhere online where you can buy books. So the first step to obtaining essential information that Tamara mentioned was to research everything. You know, start off in Google and just, if you don't know anything, look it up. Do not guess. Do not take someone's word for it. Really do your own research and come into a doctor's office or psychiatrist appointment with your own knowledge of what's going on and how you can help your loved one. Also, it's really important to find legal support in these issues because a lot of the times people are having their rights violated and they don't even know it. So really having a legal background and having legal support into this this journey can be really helpful. Another tip that she mentioned was to keep up with mental health reform policies and related news. So I've noticed that nowadays there's a lot of news surrounding suicide and mental illness, and you know, keeping up with those cases because you never know how it might be affecting your loved one, and just staying on top of those types of news can be really helpful for you and for your loved one with a mental illness. Another way you can go about finding resources is to become a member of local mental health organization. So I can definitely attest to this. I am a member of NAMI Mass, and NAMI stands for National Alliance on Mental Illness. I actually do volunteer for an organization called NAMI GBCAN, which is a Greater Boston Consumer Advocacy Network. And what we do there is basically find resources. We do peer-to-peer work. We find resources for those with mental illnesses, and we advocate. So we serve on court cases, and we go to jury deliberations, and we really become advocates for those with mental illnesses. And being a member of these organizations can definitely help you because you're going to get information that is not available to the public, not available to those who are not members. And it's going to be really grateful because this is an organization that's going to really help you get the resources that you need. Another part of this chapter that I really liked that she added was cost-effective ways to get help. The first thing that was mentioned is to reach out to disability services. I know, for example, at my school, I had a disability center that provided many, many resources, such as extensions on papers, deadline extensions for tests. If you wanted to take your exam in a separate location, you can do that. If you wanted to get absences excused because of your mental illness, that they are also available for that. And it was free of charge. I didn't have to pay a thing. Another way to get cost-effective treatment is to reach out to government and local and legal agencies. These agencies have many resources available to them, and they are able to help you at a low cost. School settings, like I just mentioned, is a great way to get cost-effective treatment because colleges and high schools and even middle schools have counseling centers, guidance officers. They can provide you with a therapist that you can see weekly. And a lot of these services are free of charge. Nonprofit organizations are also wonderful for this as well. Nonprofits are a great first step into obtaining these treatments or obtaining information about your mental illness. And a really important way to get help is to find a therapist for your loved one. I definitely, Tamara mentioned to use psychologytoday.com, and I even use that to find my therapist. And it's a really great way because they break it down so that you know where the therapist is located. Does he or she take your insurance plan? What is the cost? What else was included in that? What type of therapy they do? What is their areas? What are their specialties? And finding a therapist can be really overwhelming, but having search engines such as psychologytoday.com can be really helpful into narrowing down who is going to be the right person for your loved one. And there also, and this is something that I didn't know that she mentioned in the book, was that there's also programs that can help you pay for prescriptions if you cannot afford them. And she mentioned there's one called Needy Meds or RX Assistant, and that's going to be really, really helpful for people who have to be on many, many different medications for mental illnesses and they aren't able to afford them. So I asked people on my blog, what can your caregivers and others in your support system do to make living with a mental illness easier? So I'm going to read some of the responses that I received. Make an effort to reach out to me, ask me how I'm doing, and not to expect too much from me. Don't be disappointed if I cancel plans. I usually will stress over plans weeks in advance. Realize that I need encouragement instead of criticism. Everyone's reality is slightly different. Even if someone's reality is that there's a monster in front of them and we can't see it, we have to respect it. Don't tell me there's no reason to be afraid of something. I know it may seem irrational, but it's real for me. I want to give a thank you shout out for everyone who made this episode possible. Thank you, Tamara, for letting me review your book. And like I said before, you guys can purchase it online at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Books A Million, anywhere that books are sold online. I would also like to thank all my Tumblr followers. Thank you, Elise, for the music composition. And you guys can contact me at anxietysurvivor@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at anxioussurvivor. And you can also check out my website, anxiousramblings.squarespace.com. Thank you all for listening. Hope you all tune in next time.